Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. And with me this weekend are two of the most renowned coaches in New Hampshire soccer, George Pinkham, who has 337 lifetime wins in New Hampshire, both at Concord and Bow, starting in 1986, George, is that
That's
right?
That's it, in Concord first year.
Perfect. And with him is Reverend Rob Grable, who has 185 wins at Hanover, including several consecutive state championships at Hanover, and prior to that was at Derryfield. But Rob, I'm going to start with you because you also coached the last, what, Division II hockey at New Hampshire College. I always like to hear that story, so let's start there.
It's almost time to put a reunion together for that bunch. We were kind of unique. Hockey had always been in the mix at New Hampshire College. We had an outdoor rink known as the Crystal Palace. Most teams would play us there only once. It's been fun watching that program evolve into a very competitive team currently. So coaching two sports in back-to-back seasons is something that only the Jim Tufts of the world can do. And I speak about our estimable friend out in Exeter, who is starting his 40th year at Exeter High School, coaching Division I soccer and hockey.
Exactly. And he has 404 wins. And he also had the delightful opportunity, as did Coach Pinkham here, of coaching my two sons playing in that outdoor rink. All I remember is that my feet were frozen all the time watching them play play hockey there. So that's really cool. You're also an ordained reverend, correct?
I'm a reverend. I'm not ordained yet. That's coming up in November. It's been a six-year slog. They don't give these things away. But I'm serving now as a minister in the Hanover Church. And soccer is my outlet and my self-care.
And do you think God cares about the outcome of soccer games?
I would hope not.
Great.
And I'm kind of at odds, therefore, with the Tim Tebow crowd. I think God's got bigger problems to worry about.
Love that answer. Okay, Coach Pinkham, now, George, you'll be happy to note that one Mr. Brian Raffio is doing wonderfully out in Colorado.
Oh, what a great player he was.
And thank you. And of course, without you, I don't know where the poor boy would be, but he's turned into a fine young man. And I thank you for your leadership. And that the only bad thing, of course, is losing to Hanover in the final last game by one goal.
Yeah, it was a great game.
It was
a great game.
Those were two real super teams. So, George, how many years have you taught in the Bow school system?
I started in 1974.
Wow.
But that wasn't my first year of teaching. A lot of people, when I retired this year from teaching, didn't know that I was a high school social studies teacher for 2 years in the North Country, getting out of college, and then came down to Bow my third year of teaching. So I've actually been in education 44 years.
Wow, you're a lot like Tom Walton. When I Coach Walton, who now coaches for our adult fitness at Delta, but as well as NHI Cross Country Team, when you're walking with Tom on the streets of Mainstream and Concord, anybody from my age down to like 22 years old, he knows. So
This year my wife talked me into retiring, and I felt it was about time because a lot of my ex-students that I would run into actually look older than I did. So
that's a compliment.
Just kidding. So it was time after 44 years.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I know that Gabby enjoyed you and everybody that has ever had you as a teacher. So let's start. Let's open this up. So I know that it seems to be there's been some shifting in divisions and things seem to be somewhat more competitive. And, for example, in Division I, I think that there's been unique teams that have won the last 4 years. So I still think the most renowned teams still are up there, but do you guys both see that kind of a mix now, that it's much more competitive?
I think the divisional shifts are a very good thing. I think two of the best programs in the state Derryfield School and Bowl have both moved up a division. And it's going to make their teams better. It's going to make things more challenging in the divisions to which they have moved. With Derryfield having won strings of titles in Division 4, now moving up to Division 3.
And you're talking about the girls?
Boys and girls.
Okay. Boys.
Division 4 boys, our Derryfield boys moved up to Division 3, took a long drive up to Stevens High School a week ago, and beat a title-contending team 3-0.
And is Jeff Cosino still coaching?
Yes, he is.
And when I first moved to New Hampshire, I actually got my soccer licenses, F, E, and D, one summer through Jeff. So pretty cool.
He's still coaching, still serving the game, as you say, in a number of capacities. The Derryfield girls probably have the single best female player in the state, Gabby Brummett. And she's already committed to Duke University. She's a senior now. And it's very good to see the Derryfield girls moving up into Division III, where they will certainly be a contender, but they'll be challenged more, and that's a good thing.
Is she as good as that woman that then went to Notre Dame?
I think so. Morgan Andrews.
Morgan, yep.
She is on the level of a Morgan Andrews. You know, we've had four or five young ladies who've come out of New Hampshire and played Division I soccer. Very fun to see. And on the boys' side, Derryfield boys will be contenders. I think the bow teams on both sides, moving from Division III to Division II, will be right in the mix. The bow girls had a real challenge this week going up the road to Hanover. Bow boys, as George could relate, ran into a team that may be the top contender in Division II, Lebanon High School.
So tell us about that, George.
Lebanon quality team. I hope for Rob, he's been a coach at Lebanon for years, that this year he's come so close to winning a championship. Mr. Grable knows how close he came when he played him in the final. I know at least once, maybe twice. I forget. But
wasn't one of those years? I know Rob because his dad Bruce was on my board of directors for a while. So Rob has 251 wins, but didn't one year you actually had to play the second game?
In 2006, the state championship game was a replay. So if you had a draw at the end of overtime, you'd come back 3 days later, and that was the case in 2006, a game played at Merrimack Valley and decided in overtime. Lebanon has knocked on the door many, many times, including in recent years. But I think George and I are both in agreement that this could be Lebanon High School's year. They've got a strong, deep team.
Last Friday, they handled us 3-0, and it could have been worse than that. He's not at all weak any place on the field. And the kids love the game. They play it well. They play it the right way. And again, I hope this is his year. He deserves it.
Great. Well, we'll keep, present company excluded, but we'll keep our fingers crossed for him. So tell us now, I know that there's a new NHA policy with regarding how many teams actually make the tournament. So for example, in Division I, instead of 16 teams making it 13, so is that going to make an obvious question, I suppose, but that'll make the regular season that much more meaningful?
Yes. This was a policy change across the board by the NHIAA in every sport. So the new guideline is that only 70% of the teams in a division will make the playoffs. And previously, Division I only had 21 teams. So you had 21 teams playing for 16 slots. Now it's going to be more competitive. The first three seeds will get byes. 15 teams make it in Division II, 17 in that large Division III. Which is smaller now because a number of Division III teams have moved up to two. But I think it will spice things up. There'll be fewer first-round blowouts. And that was one of the things that the Division I or the NHIAA athletic directors and council wanted to eliminate.
I think that's great. And I think teams moving up, too, because one of the things, and George and I have talked about this, but the probably the main difference between Division III and II, for example, is there are no weak teams in Division II, whereas Division III, there's a lot of games that can be 8-1, that type of thing. There's obviously the quality teams in Division III can compete with quality teams in Division II, but you don't have those, for lack of a better term, less developed or weaker programs. So, George, before the first break, let's talk a little bit about this trend in club sports. You have a sort of a personal experience, and then maybe both you and Rob can comment on how it has, if it has at all, affected, high school soccer.
The academy programs, I'm sure, Tom, it's what you're talking about in New Hampshire. It's Seacoast. I have mixed feelings because my grandson did play at Concord High as a freshman and sophomore, and then went to Seacoast Academy last year as a junior. Is again back there as a senior. Last spring, I got to see, top East Coast Academy teams, bringing him to games and going over to see games. It is a different level soccer. There's no doubt about that. It's a different level soccer. There's talk about weakness. No, there's no weakness whatsoever. So they're playing at that level. Is it going to lead, though, to what they hope, which is college scholarship, even perhaps a look at some type of team on the national level, developmental team, of course? Very, very few kids get to that level. I've seen a lot more disappointed because of that. The Good Morning America had a study about athletes. Well, they didn't do it, but they had a part of their program about athletes in high school that have devoted themselves to one sport. And they found that only between 5 and 10% actually go on and play at a Division I program in that one sport. A lot of child psychologists really are emphasizing now athletes – be athletes. It's a lot of your development socially, and of course with your teammates, and the community, being a 2 or 3 sport athlete. So I would hope that these kids that go to a program like the Academy on the Seacoast do actually end up doing what they want to do, which is go on to the next level. But unfortunately, at this time, not most of them don't.
And I always say, your high school senior year, if you're on a great competitive team, my God, it is. That was one of the happiest years I know that our family had, just kind of following the team and for the athlete. And I always say, like, if a kid's going to be good enough, he or she's going to be good enough, regardless of where they play. But that's just my opinion. Has it, Rob? Has it had any impact on the Hanover high school team?
It hasn't had an impact. We've had several boys who have decided to make the long 90-minute trek, 90 minutes one way, to play academy soccer. And I think the jury is still out. The level of play is very good. Is it that much better? And is the atmosphere that much more advantageous developmentally and academically to get you into the college? The last two Dartmouth captains have been Hanover High guys. And so I think you can make a case that staying with your local high school is also a totally legitimate developmental pathway. And I want to reinforce what George said about playing multiple sports. Some of the best athletes that we have at Hanover High School, kids who are now playing college soccer, did not stay with soccer all year long. They played basketball. They did track. They did tennis, and it potentially cuts down on repetitive stress injuries. It cuts down on overtraining. It cuts down on burnout. So we're pretty big advocates of playing other sports and letting yourself develop. And I think there are even some college coaches who would say, yeah, don't give me somebody who's just been playing travel soccer since age 8, because they might be candidates for burnout.
And that gets, George, to your point you always made to me. There are athletes who play soccer, and then there are these sort of specialized soccer players. Both can work. But we'll return with after commercial break with two renowned coaches in New Hampshire, George Pinkham and Rob Grable. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Here we are over Labor Day weekend. Our show is running three times, and with me this weekend are renowned soccer coaches Rob Grable from Hanover High School and George Pinkham from Bow High School. I want to put a big shout out to last week's guest, Dr. Chuck Lloyd from NHGI. That was a sort of back to school program, and the community college system is really starting to thrive as people understand of these articulation agreements where you can start at a community college and then go on to UNH. I spoke at the NHGI graduation a few years ago, and one of the gentlemen that was graduating, 2 years later, I saw him at Bryant University, where one of my sons was graduating, same four-year degree at about $200,000 less. So community college system works, and they also have some pretty terrific programs now in terms of athletics. And speaking of athletics, I'm going to get back now to George and Rob. So tell us about there's a little, it's been a shift now in terms of the yellow and red cards. The penalties are a little harsher for teams accumulating yellow. Is that because the games are getting too aggressive, or is that just better officiating, or what's the trend there?
Well, I think it reflects a continuing emphasis on sportsmanship by the NHIAA. I think there has been an overall improvement in team conduct and sportsmanship. I remember 5, 6, 7 years ago, we had some terrible incidents in game of taunting and injuries. And there was a real emphasis then, and all of a sudden, if you accumulated enough yellow cards, red cards, a player could be out, a coach could be out, and even a team could be out. And there are some real teeth in the rules this year. It would take a really bad run of cards to get you out. And so that's kind of a safeguard in place. It's like a nuclear option.
As Rob said, the NHIAA, about a little less than 10 years ago, really started to emphasize sportsmanship. If you look at your other sports, soccer, though, is the only one that a player or a coach can be penalized. In basketball, sure, you can throw them out of the game, but there's no accumulation of cards in baseball. So soccer really is the only sport that a vehicle like this of accumulated cards can be used. And give the NHIAA credit to Steve Beals, the chairman of the soccer committee. After a team accumulates into the season up to their fifth, I think it takes 10 to actually warrant a suspension, automatic suspension. But he'll be in contact with the school. He'll be in contact with the principal, with the athletic director, asking what's going on. You know, these were the where the cards were, making them well aware of, you know, the school could be in jeopardy of losing a game, a coach, or a player if they continue to accumulate cards. So that's helped. The only drawback, being a referee for 25 years, and Rob was too, I don't think he still is, but like me, I stopped a couple of years ago. Every referee is different. And there are some referees that, unfortunately, are schooled that if a player or coach voices a displeasure with a call, the card will go out within 5 seconds. They won't put up with any, and it's really not, to my feeling, poor sportsmanship. Ranting and raving and throwing a fit is, but just questioning. And you have referees that will actually take the time to explain. They don't need a long explanation, but why the call was made, and please, let's go, keep playing, and all right, that's all I need. So again, on one side of the coin, you're dealing with the personalities of the referee too. And some are a lot quicker than the other. And the other side, you've got the player and coach who may, you know, question too much. And do they deserve it? Yes, there's no question they do.
For all of the people listening to the Pulse this weekend, and we're glad you are, go to a game and watch a good official talking with the players all throughout the game, like the conductor of an orchestra. And they'll have their handle on discipline before it ever comes necessary to show a card. They'll chide the players. They'll encourage them. They'll establish a dialogue with the speaking captains. And a referee who has rabbit ears and is a little trigger happy needs to learn about how to involve him or herself in the flow of the match a little bit more.
It's like a good NBA official, it sounds like there. Cool. You know, you talk about the accumulation of cards and the impact of on the coaches. I think you guys can correct me, but we talked about that state championship where Lebanon had, and you and Lebanon had to play twice. I'm pretty sure Rob couldn't coach the last game, right?
That is correct. And unfortunately, the 10th card for his team came in the match before that. This has changed now too. There's a clean slate going into the playoffs. So they've adapted because of that tough situation. And it was for a marginal call on infringing 10 yards or delay of game. The ball was deflated. The player kicked it away, and he was yellow carded for getting rid of a deflated soccer ball. You can get a yellow card if you don't have your mouthpiece in your mouth. And if you got 10 of those over the course of the season, I would think that an appeal to the soccer committee might shed some light on these extenuating circumstances, because there are different things you can be carded for.
But remember, mouth guards. I'm the president of a dental insurance company. Mouth guards, very important. And don't get those cheap ones from a drugstore. Pay the $75 and have your dentist.
Can I second that? Get a molded mouth guard and keep it in.
Because what people don't realize is that it's also for concussions. It's not just breaking your teeth. Hey, we mentioned Morgan Andrews before. I just want to put a shout out to her, because I know that not only she was a terrific soccer player, but she was also a great representative of the sport. And we had her. One of her coaches was Pat Mulcahy, and he said nothing but great things about her. So I'm glad that she's kind of found her way in college. So let's kind of look ahead to the season. You've had a couple of weeks. Obviously, George has kind of tipped that Division II may be ruled by Lebanon, or at least they'll have the controlling force at this point. How about Division I, Rob? Who do you, besides Hanover, who do you see as being, and I know it's really competitive now with the Manchester schools and Concord, but what can, besides Hanover, who would be the other four or five contenders?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Concord. They're the defending champs, and you've got to beat the champ to be the champ. You're right about the Manchester schools. Exeter is always in the hunt, but the consensus is that Bedford will be a very strong team this year. Their best player is named Statiris. Their second best player is named Statiris. Their third best player is named Statiris. They've got three brothers on the team.
Wow.
And baby brother, who's a freshman, scored a goal a week ago in their opening win. So I think Bedford will be quite strong. On the girls' side, we really had a changing of the guard. It was Exeter for a long run. And last year, the two finalists were Pinkerton and Londonderry. They're both back in the mix this year. And as is the case on either side, it could be any of seven or eight teams. There's such good parity.
And George, in Division II, besides Lebanon and Bo?
The old standbys, your Oyster Rivers, your Sauhegans. When we were in Division II 6 years before, for 6 years, we didn't face Wyndham because they didn't have a high school. But when we left, they won two state championships, and people are saying they're strong again. Tomorrow we get to go see Goffstown play, and Rob Johnston told me at Friday's game, watch out, they've got a lot of players back. They're going to be a good team. So I would say by the end, there's going to be at least 8 to 10 teams that have a shot. Last year, my understanding was Portsmouth, who was 12th, made it to the final. And lost a game, in the championship game, a relatively close game. So one thing that the Division II coaches that I know did tell me is there's no one legitimate choice. There are a bunch of teams that by the end of the year have a chance.
So that parity is here. And also you were saying, Rob, that even in Division III, probably there's more parity, that we're not going to have those long runs for Guilford or Hopkinton.
Oh, my, yes. Although, don't sleep on Guilford this year. Don't sleep on Hopkinton this year. Belmont boys are in the mix. Coach Foley has a wonderful team. Campbell, 15-3 last year and a semifinalist. So they'll be back in the hunt. And then, of course, there's Derryfield. And the team that's happiest that Derryfield has gone up to Division III is Epping. And on both boys and girls sides, Epping will be a good contender in Division IV. The Sunapee girls will come charging down Route 89 and always be contender. And there are two or three North Country teams that will always be in the mix. Gorham in particular turns out good teams every year.
Okay, back to you now, Rob. You're the keeper of the... I love studying the High School Coaches Association soccer records. You guys, after every game, must have to file a lot of detailed information because there's all sorts of very specific goals scored, goals against, saves even. But the one thing, I'm going to put you on this assignment because between George and Dave Pinkham, they now have close to 1,000 wins between the two of them. So we have to find out if nationally, if there's any other brothers that come close to that. Can I put you on that assignment?
Absolutely. I will tell you that there is one pair of brothers, the Chisowitz brothers from New Jersey, right? Walt and Gene Chisowitz. And so, we'll get our crack research team on this. We are in touch with the National Soccer Coaches Association of America, who keep national records, and they do a nice job. And there are several records, national records, some held by Guilford High School, some by some of the other schools in terms of goals allowed and defense, in terms of number of championships won. So it's entertaining. The reason we keep these records is it's fun to know our history. It's fun to look back and tell our kids with exceptionally high self-esteem that maybe this has been done before them in past years.
I was looking at some of these records. Of course, what you're Guilford winning 10 consecutive. I mean, that's right up there with the UCLA Bruins in basketball and the Boston Celtics professionally. That's unbelievable. And of course, you yourself 6 years in a row in Hanover, so that's pretty incredible. And Derryfield, Jeff Cousineau, seven years in a row. So
exactly, and I love the fact that it's getting harder to put a run together because of the parity. A lot of these boys and girls come into high school as accomplished soccer players through town recreation programs, through club teams, and it's fun to see both as viable pathways, but the kids have much more skill than they used to. So we're not teaching the game anymore. We're working on tactics. We're working on ways to help them get to be even better players. So the game itself has improved.
And I love history because Jack O'Meara was a friend of mine. I'm glad to see at the moment he's still at the top of the list for winning girls' teams, 417. Of course, he had Manchester West when they had all the Bedford girls. I think he would be the first to say. But Peter Lally's nosing up on that. So I don't know. Is Peter still coaching at Manchester?
Oh, he certainly is. I saw Peter earlier this summer. And the Central girls will be in the mix again with all of those other teams I mentioned. So I think Peter will be the first one to... give Coach Amaro a blow-by-blow account as he gets a little closer and narrows the gap.
Yeah, it's either going to be this year or next year, looks like, based on the records. So I always enjoy this. The time flies by. I have to ask, have you guys come back again. And again, I just also want to comment on both of you. Obviously, both of you are very successful soccer coaches and esteemed people in your own right. But thank you also for your leadership, because I think you'd be the first ones to say that it's not just about winning and even sportsmanship. It's about leading young women and men to become successful adults. And I credit George here for really turning around one of my sons. So final 30 seconds for each of you on the season or anything. Rob, start with you.
We're off to a great start, I think. There were a lot of coaches and referees who met a couple of weeks back. We're on the same page that this is for the kids. And I think we've got a lot of good momentum in that direction.
Awesome, George.
And a lot of quality teams I've seen this year. Rob said, you know, the idea of a a long ball, boot them and chase them, game is over in New Hampshire. There's a lot of teams that are top quality.
It's a beautiful sport to watch, and I always say New Hampshire is disproportionately successful nationally. I know a few years ago, Coach Suleiman almost had a national championship team, I remember, so just from little New Hampshire. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for all you do for the young athletes and students in New Hampshire, and we'll have you back again, and may you have a successful season, both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Tom Raffi will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.